Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I am your host, Imam Sadiq Jihad. Today is the launch of the program entitled Learning the Glorious Quran. And I thank Allah and I thank Imam Thomas Abu Salam for giving me the opportunity to share Lughat al-Arabiyya, that is the Arabic language, and also to make comments about the Glorious Quran. And notice I said Glorious Quran, and I always like to say Glorious Quran as opposed to Holy Quran, because there's no mention of the word glory, pardon me, holy, relating to the Quran in the book itself that Allah revealed. So I like to say Quran in Majid, which is the glorious Quran, and also I like to say Quran in Kareem, which is translated many times as the noble Quran. Praise be to Allah. So this evening, what we want to do is to basically set the backdrop, if you will, for the upcoming presentations, and what we want to do is utilize the book that I have written entitled The Language of Revelation, Classical Arabic Language Instruction with Exercises and Quran Commentary. And I realize that many of you do not have the book, and I want to give you the address and phone number where you can secure the book. And at the same time, I tell you that it is my intention to have a visual as well as an audio presentation. In fact, I made some calls today regarding having visual of this presentation that, inshallah, will be on Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. And I'm intending to focus on the beginners as opposed to non-beginners. And the way that I have classified beginners and non-beginners is this. The beginner is one that does not know all of the Arabic alphabet and the tashkil marks or vowel-like markings. When I say vowel-like markings, we're referring to the fatha, kasra, dhamma, and so on. And those who are non-beginners are those who have the knowledge of the Arabic alphabet and the tashkil or vowel-like markings. In fact, we say that there are 15 basic sounds in the Arabic language, and we have 28 letters, but we have 29 sounds. What do I mean by that? I mean that some consider Aleph and Hamza as one letter, but we know that the fact that we have Aleph and then we have the name Hamza, they have to be two distinct letters. And we know that the Hamza, the Fatha, is a half a beat, if you will. We have it so beautifully in the Quran, Surah 55, where Allah says, "Wa sama'a wa fa'aha wa wada'a al-mizan." in the sky as he lays high in a balance. There's a hamza, samaa. It's a real short click, whereas the aleph has more of a longer sound, s, but the hamza is s. So we're going to go over those 15 basic sounds, inshallah, in hopes that though we don't have a visual, you will be able to understand from my explanation what I am referring to when I refer to the various sounds. But before I do that, I just want to read a few ayahs from the Quran to warm myself up and inshallah to warm the audience up as well. And we know that Allah says in the Quran, وَكَلِمَتُّ Wallahu Azizun Hakim. That is, and the words of Allah are exalted to the height. He is the mighty, the wise. This is a portion of one of the ayahs in Surah 9. If I'm not mistaken, that may be the verse 40. But as I speak, I'm going to check to make sure that that is correct as I continue this presentation this evening. Praise be to Allah. And I thank Allah for you listening in today. And I pray Allah that you will benefit from the presentations that you intend to make. And inshallah, you will become a lifelong student of the glorious Quran. In fact, we know that word Taliban, which has received a lot of negativity, but in its pure sense, Taliban has great meaning. In fact, we know by again, in what we call the adverbial or accusative case, Taliban would suggest a student forever. We want to be students forever of this glorious Quran. And after being students, we want to be imparting the knowledge of this Quran to as many people as we can. So that is correct. That is the verse 40, the latter part of verse 40 in the surah of Tawbah. Again, وَكَلِمَتُّ اللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. I like to recite this particular portion of that particular ayah because if Allah is saying to us without a doubt that His words are exalted to the height, then we know that if we learn His words and understand His words and apply His words, we too, as an individual and as people, will be exalted to the height. Not only that, we will increase our top class, and we will, inshallah, enter the garden, and we will be of the Qadri Boon, that is, those who are near to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So continuing, the often quoted, verse, the Qat Yasharna al-Qur'ana yadzikri, the Helmim Mudakir. That is, we have indeed made the Qur'an easy to understand and remember. For you are those who remember and take it to heart. This is the surah Al-Qamar, that is chapter 54 of the Quran. And we know that this particular phrase or series of words are repeated in the surah 54, verses 17, 22, 32, and 40. So if you write it down, I want to give it to you again. That is, Surah 54, verse 17, 22, 32, and 40. And again, it reads, Taqad yasarna al-Qur'ana lidzikri fa'hal mim with that spirit. Also, we have it in the Quran, the Surah 20, verse 114, this particular phrase where it says, Waqul rabbi zidni ilman, and say, My Lord, increase me. How do we want to be increased? Ilman, with knowledge. This ilman is what we call the hal condition for those of you who understand the grammar to some extent already. Ilman. This is how we want to be increased, with knowledge. Praise be to Allah. And next, I'd like to recite this particular ayah. Walau anama fil ardi min sajaratin aklamun wa bahru yamudduhu min ba'adihi. سَبْعَاتُ أَفُورٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَتُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. That is, and if on earth all of the trees were pen, and the oceans were ink, with seven oceans behind it to add to it the pot. Yet would not the words of Allah be exalted in the righteous. For Allah is exalted in power and full of wisdom. Surah 31, verse 27. And I'd like to add a bit of tafsir on this particular ayah, if you would indulge me. And I'm not a dogmatic person in the sense that I am saying to you without a doubt that this is the only view or understanding of this particular ayah. But I do know in the Bible language, it says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word took on flesh. And we know that the Quran says that Jesus was a Word, but it never says that Allah himself was a Word. If you say that the Word was God, and the Word was with God, then you're saying that God is a Word in that particular logos, they call it in the Bible language. I believe that's the Latin word. So I believe that Allah is directly attacking the idea that he can be limited to being a word by saying that if you took words and you had all of the ink, all of the oceans, and added seven more to it, you would never be able to exalt the wisdom of God or even come to God by words. Because God is not a word, and God is inscrutable in totality. So we do know that Allah has set forth something about himself in the Quran by giving us the Asma'ul Husna, that is the excellent names, and there are other names besides the ones that we consider the 99 attributes of Allah. So at that point, I want to make this point. We know that Allah acknowledges that we as human beings are creators. But he says that he is the best of the creators. So we know that you and I have the ability to bring something into existence that never has been before. But we have to use that which Allah has already created to bring other things into existence from the things that he has created. Praise be to Allah. So I'd like to say to you that Allah himself is a grammarian. I, too, am a grammarian. Sibuway was a grammarian. Many of us today that are studying the Quran have some knowledge of the grammar, but we are grammarians. But we are always reminded that Allah is the best of the grammarians. So when you read the Quran, know that Allah himself is using grammar to express himself in a very, very perfect way. Very perfect way. Praise be to Allah. So understand that you and I have the ability to understand this Quran for ourselves, and we know that Allah himself declares that he teaches the Quran. He says to us, Allama al-Quran. He teaches the Quran. And we who know something about the grammar, we know that Allah is telling us by using the second form verb allama, that he does this redundantly over and over again in a very, very intense way to the ends of time. So understand that knowledge for the Quran is vast, and you should have the mind of understanding this Quran for yourself and also learning from others. Many other people have some knowledge of this Quran. Praise be to Allah. So continuing, I want to just mention a couple more ayahs, and that is from the Surah 12 now, where Allah says to us, Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. That is, we have sent it down as, I'm translating it as, a pure recital. Abdullah Yusuf Ali says, as an Arabic Quran. So we know that he is not translating Quran and Arabian for the English speaker. So if you were to take the time to look up the root Araba, you'll find that Araba means to be free from admixture, to be pure and undefiled. It also indicates that it is a carriage or a vehicle to go from one place to another. So this language is designed and structured in such a way that it has not allowed impurities to come into it. When I say impurities, I'm saying words from other languages without the structure being where there are flags on words that are not Arabic words. Classic example is Ibrahim. Ibrahim is not originally an Arabic word. We know that because of the fact that it is what we call a diptote. Diptote, English word, meaning two cases. So we understand that the two cases in the Arabic language is this particular word, Ibrahim, takes a dhamma, which is a u sound, or it takes a fatha. It never takes what we call tanween, which is an, in, or un. It never takes the kasra. We don't say Ibrahimi. We say Ibrahimu if it's the subject, and we say Ibrahima if it is the object and the sentence. So praise be to Allah, this language is pure, and it has existed as it is now for thousands of years. Praise be to Allah. So the key for us as Muslims is to go back to the time when the Quran was being revealed so we can understand what the words meant on the deserts of Arabia at the time when the revelation was revealed to our illustrious prophet, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the prayers and the peace and the blessings be upon him forever and ever. So again, Allah says, Inna anzalnahu Quran and Arabiya la'allakum ta'qilun. Surely we revealed it as a pure recital. I'm translating Quran as a recital, and I'm translating Arabian as pure. So I would like to pose to you that this idea of Arabian being pure is suggesting to us, I believe, that it is in accord with our picture, pure nature that we all came out of the womb of our mothers with. So if you and I get in touch with the grammar of this great book, and we endeavor to be sincere, and we read it for the purpose of becoming better human beings, then Allah will open up the understanding to us, inshallah. And he says that he has made it pure in order that you all will learn wisdom, Abdullah Yusra'i says, but also you could say that it's clearly saying Ta'akilun, meaning that you are knowing. You know, Aqwa is brain. So Allah has designed this book in such a way where it is indeed in accord with your original nature, and you and I have the brain power to know and understand it. Praise be to Allah. So in another ayah, in the Surah 43, verse 14, pardon me, verse 3 of the Surah 43, Allah says, Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Surely we have made it a pure recital. La'allakum ta'qilun. So he just simply changed the word from anzalnahu to ja'alnahu. So he has revealed it as a pure recital, and he has made it a pure recital. Praise be to Allah. And then the next ayah is so beautiful, says, وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. And surely it is, Abdullah Yusra, he says, in the mother of the book, in our presence, high in dignity, full of wisdom. I would like to suggest to you, the audience, that the أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ can be translated or viewed as being, surely he, وَإِنَّهُ, surely he, is the source of the Kitab, in our presence, exalted, full of wisdom. So I want us to understand, I believe this is something that you should understand, we're talking about understanding the verse to end, that Allah is the source of this book. And if he is the source of this book, we have to understand that the players did not affect what the content of this book was going to be. This book came directly from Allah. So I want you to see it in your mind's eye that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in the cave. And Allah knew that he would be in that cave. And Allah knew what his whole life experience would be. So the Quran, as Allah says, was Bilahum Mahfuz in a protected tablet. So we should not see Allah as being reacting to the life experiences of Muhammad. Rather, he was already aware of his life experiences, and the Quran unfolded over that 23-year period of time exactly as Allah wanted this particular recital, Quran, to be set forth. Praise be to Allah. So if you remember the Surah Al-Kafirun, the report has it that the time when it was revealed was a time when he was offered a business deal, saying that he would be accepted as the king of the tribe. He would have the finest women, and he wanted, that is, they wanted him to worship their God 1 year, and he would worship their God the next year. And before Muhammad could respond, Allah revealed Surah Al-Kafirun. Say to him, oh, you rejected the faith. And then the surah continues from that point. So see this Quran as being a perfect fixed book because Allah is El-Qadir, the one that knows things before they occur. So continuing now, I want to mention a few more verses, and then we're going to go into the 15 basic sounds. And if you can't get them from the way I'm giving them here on the presentation, then you can go back to the archive. And if you happen to have my book, you can go to the content of the book there and follow the flow of it. And I must say to you that in order for you to really understand the language, you want to get a command of all of the Arabic letters along with the tashkil markings or the vowel-like markings, so that it would be easy for you to grasp the grammar contained in the book called The Language of Revelation. And you can secure the book by going to www.sadiqjihad.com, and you also could reach me via email, Sadiq, S-I-D-D-E-E-Q at msn.com. You can send a check or money order to Post Office Box 401165, that's Redford, Michigan, 48240. Or you can call me and I could possibly do a pay anywhere transaction over the phone. The book is $29.95, and if I were to mail it out, it would be $10 shipping and handling. So I encourage you to secure the book, and inshallah, as I indicated, we intend to have visuals, hopefully by next Monday, where you can follow, if you don't have the book, over the visual connection that I hope to establish via the internet. Thank you, inshallah. So again, that's SadiqJihad.com. You can pay via PayPal there, and again, you can do it by mail or give me a call and we can do the transaction over the phone. InshaAllah. So here, Allah says, As-salah, yatadabbarun al-Qur'ana, walau kana min indi ghayrullahi, lawajadu bihtilafan kathiran. Allah asks the question. I ask the question, pardon me. And why do they not ponder and research the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found in it much discrepancy. This is 482. So I want you to remember that Allah tells us in many ayahs of the Quran that this is a book for those who reflect and ponder. They use what we call tadabbur, that is serious pondering and effort to understand. And we have it so beautifully in Surah 59, verse 21, where Allah says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل رأيته خشيا متصديا بخشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. And we have sent it down, this Quran, on a mountain. Surely, and had we sent it down on this Quran on a mountain, surely you would have seen it humble itself and break into pieces. Such are the parables that we propound to humanity in order that they will reflect and ponder them. Praise be to Allah. So now I want to begin the process of giving you the 15 basic sounds. And everyone has different approaches to teaching, and I prefer to give the sounds because I know that most of the Arabic letters have English equivalent. So if you master the sounds of the language, then it is easy for you to tie in what the B is in Arabic, what the T is in Arabic, what the L is in Arabic, and so on and so forth. So if you happen to have my book, then I want you to know that I'm going to be coming from the page 26, where it has all of the sounds of the Arabic language set forth. So this evening, the letter that I'm going to use, for example, is the letter Jim, Jim. That is equivalent to the English J. I repeat, it's equivalent to the English J. The name of the letter is Jim, but in the pronunciation of this particular letter in the Arabic language, you never hear the Im part. This happens to be the name of this letter. So see the letter Jim as simply J in terms of it being an English equivalent. So the first slash mark that we have in the language is the forward slash mark above a letter. For those of you who have computers, you know what the forward slash mark is. It's the forward slash mark that is below the question mark on the keyboard. That particular marking over the letter J gives us the sound A. A as in apple. A as in Adam. By the way, if you happen to be on the internet and you wanted to get a copy of this page 26, you can go to my Facebook page, and that's Ronald Sadiq, and you will see that I posted the Arabic alphabet on the timeline. Inshallah, it will be there. So, Jim, the fatha gives us the sound Jah, J-A, Jah, and notice it's the flat sound. And again, it yields the sound of A as in apple. If I were to have the letter M, the fatha, it would be ma. This is very basic. Many of you probably already know this, I'm assuming. But if you're knowing already, please encourage those who aren't knowing to tune in. Next, if I were to give the letter L, the fatha, it would be la. The letter K with fatha would be ka. Next, we have the sound E. It is a forward slash mark below a letter. So with the letter Jim, with Kasra, we use the sound of G. Jim with a forward slash mark below it gives us the sound G, J-E. Another example, we have the letter K. K with Kasra would give us the sound K-E, K. L with Kasra would give us the sound Li. Fatha, it means literally an opening. And I'm sure you hear some closeness to Al-Fatiha, the opening or the victory. So since we're dealing with language, fatha means an opening of the mouth. And I always like to pose to the audience, can you say fa? Can you say ja without opening your mouth. And the response for those who are wise is, if I was a ventriloquist, I could. So we know that this is a opening of the mouth. That's ha. So again, gene with thatsa is jack. Gene with kesra is T, K-E, pardon me, is G, J-E. Kaf, or K with kesra, is K-E. So kesra itself means a parting, or breaking, if you will, of the lips. And you can see from your own lips that in order for you to say G, your lips have to part. G, your lips part. So kesra means literally a breaking of something. So since we're dealing with language, it is a breaking or a parting, if you will, of the lips. So understand that this kesra sound, sometimes, instead of it being a pure E sound, it becomes a I sound, as in itch. We have it in the olfactory where we say, I dino siroto. That particular phrase begins with what we call aleph kesra, but we don't say I dinos, we say I. I dinos. I dinos siroto. We have it in the phrase which we call the Besmallah. We say, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim. We don't say Bishmi, like we used to say back in the day. Don't Bishmi, man. It's Bishmi as opposed to Bishmi. Although the Ba has the Kesra on it because of the established way to pronounce it. We don't say Bishmi, we say Bish. Bishmi. So understand that the kesra can give you a pure E sound, and sometimes it gives you a I sound, as in itch. Next we have the Dhamma. The Dhamma. Dhamma literally means a rounding of something. Since we're dealing with language, a rounding of the mouth. And this sound is oo, as in oops. Again, oo as in oops. It's not a pure U sound as we say U in English. It's oo. So using the letter J again, if I put a Dhamma above a letter, it only comes above letters, I have the sound ju. So clearly I went over ja, which is gene with fatha, G, which is gene with kesra, and ju, which is gene with Dhamma. The Dhamma marking looks like a backward E above a letter. Those are the three basic sounds. We have 12 more to go. Inshallah, we'll be able to cover them this evening. If not, we will continue next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The next, we want to go over what we call the long vowel sound. Long vowel sound. So I'm saying a long fatha sound, which is ah. A long kesra sound, which would be e. A long dhamma sound, which would be oo. So the letter jim, which is a j, the fatha you mentioned is j. So how do we make it j? All we do is add, I like to say, the stick, which is just a long line that is vertical, up and down. Ja. So to make the fatha sound long, I have it on page 26 of my book, add aleph, and we also refer to it as add the stick. I'm trying to put the idea of a long stick, a long sound. And on the very cover of my book entitled The Language of Revelation, I have the beautiful phrase from the Quran where Allah says, Qad ja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabun mubin. That is, and no doubt has come to you all a light and a prescription book or a pure book, and it has come from Allah. Allah makes it clear that this book has come from Him. So I repeat, Surah 5, verse 15, portion of it. Ta-ja'akum, and no doubt has come. I'm using ja'a. You mentioned the letter jin, and it's ja'a. Ta-ja'akum, min Allahi, nuran, wa kitabun mubin. That is, again, no doubt from Allah has come to you all, is light, and a plain book. But Allah is declaring that this is a plain book. That means that if you and I learn the Arabic Quran or Quranic Arabic, the book will become plain to us, at least some portions of it, inshallah. So continuing, we have the long E sound, which is a long kasra, essentially. And this is kind of difficult for beginners to grasp. But we use what we call the letter ya, which is equivalent to the English Y, to make our E sound long. So if I give you the letter ja, or jin, pardon me, if I give you the letter jin, as I mentioned earlier, and put a kasra on it, that's ji. So how do we make it long? We put the letter Y that has two dots on the bottom right next to the letter G. In fact, we connect it directly to it, and the sound is G, J, E, E, G. So the Y, the letter Y, is called one of the weak letters. Our professor gave us the term that is Dr. Abu Minim Shakir, who I began learning Arabic with back in 1978, called them the Huruful Marid. That is three letters that are considered weak or really letters that are used to give us a long sound. So the letter Aleph is considered one of the Huruful Marid. That is one of the weak letters or letters that are used to give us the long factor sound. So notice when we put the Aleph next to the letter Ja or Jin with Fatha, gives us the sound Ja. The Aleph is not being used to give us the sound A as in Aleph, but it's being used to just elongate the Fatha sound. Ja. And likewise, to give us the long E sound or long Kasra sound, we at the ya with no markings on it. So in order for the Y to be perceived or understood to be lengthening the kasra sound, we must have the kasra on the letter that comes before the letter ya. It's very important for you to know that once we put markings back on the letter Y, it goes back to being a Y. Sometime when I teach on this particular topic, I call the Y a chump letter. And I ask people, what is a chump to you? And they say, well, somebody you can use or abuse. But we know that in Al-Islam, we are not to use and abuse people and oppress people in any way. So see the letter Y as being a letter that transforms itself, if you will, into being an E sound, provided that there is a kasra on the letter. It comes before it. Another way you can look at that is being a vowelless Y is an E, provided that there is a kasra coming before it. I hope that's clear. And if it's not, inshallah, let me know and we'll go over it again at another time. So understand that in order to get the kasra sound, which is the E sound long, we place the letter ya next to it with no marking. So visualize in your mind that if I had the letter G with kasra, that's G. Then I put the letter Y and put a fatha on it, that would be G ya. But if I have the ya there and the G is coming before it with the kasra, there's no markings on the Y, then I know that it's being used to give us the long E sound. We're continuing now. We mentioned the long Dhamma sound. How do we derive it, the long Dhamma sound? We use the third of the Rupu Nari, that is the weak letters or sick letters or slave letters, whichever language you want to use. We use the wow. The wow is equivalent to the English W. So if I give you the letter G and it has the Dhamma, which is a backward-looking E on it, that's Ju. And then I affix the letter wow, which looks exactly like the Dhamma, except it's larger and it goes below the line. We come up with the sound Ju, Ju. So how do we make the long U sound? We add a vowel-less wow. And we really don't like to call Feta, Tesha, and Dhamma as vowels. We like to say vowel-like marking from the standpoint that in English we have A, E, I, O, and U. Those are actual letters. But in Arabic, the I, E, U is symbolized by the vowel-like marking Feta, Tesha, and Dhamma. So I hope you're following me. So by way of review, we have given you six sounds thus far. We gave you fatha, which gives us the A sound. We gave you kasra, which gives us the E or I sound. We gave you the Dhamma, which gives the U sound. And I mentioned that Dhamma means a rounding of something. So we know that it is a rounding of the lips. When you say Ju, or when you say Bu, when you say Mu, your lips are going toward a rounding position. So continuing, I gave you the long fatha sound. And I said that if I use the letter jim and put fatha on it, it's ja. And to make it long, I add the long stick, the vertical stick, which is, in fact, ala. So that's ja. And then we gave you the long e sound. Kasra, or forward slash, the lower letter. Since we're using the letter J, that's G. So to make that G, I add the letter Y with no vowel-like marking on it. And it becomes G, J, E, E. And the sixth sound that I have spoke of this evening is the long Dhamma sound, or the long U sound. The letter G with Dhamma is Ju. So how do I make it long? I add a vowel-like, I don't add any vowel-like markings to the letter wow. I just put the letter wow next to the jim with Dhamma, and we come up with the sound ju, ju. And if you notice, the Dhamma, which is the backward-looking E, it looks exactly like the wow, but the wow is larger, and it goes below a line. So you can say, just to help you remember it, whenever I want to make the Dhamma sound long, I just add a big Dhamma and put it next to the letter and it goes below the line. So those are six basic sounds that we have went over thus far. Next we have what we call Tanween. Tanween means the state of putting the end sound on the end of a word. And mind you, this particular marking only comes at the end of words, and it has something to do with the grammatical position of the word in a given sentence. But we are, for teaching purposes, simply putting the tanween on the end of letters, without really giving you any words right now. So how do we come up with the A-N sound? Fatha is A. So now I want to say N. I take the letter G and I want to say Jan. How do I write Jan? I put the letter G there with Fatha, which is J. And now I want to put a second Fatha. And the way we do it is we put the stick there, which is the aleph, and we put the fatha there, and then we put a second fatha, and the second fatha is read as N sound. So G with nothing on it, that is the J with nothing on it, followed by the aleph, which is the stick, the vertical stick. And I put two fathas, two forward slash marks above the aleph. And I come up with the sound Jan, J-A-N, Jan. Another example, if I have the letter M, I put the letter M there with fatha, that's ma. But instead of putting the fatha over the ma, I don't put the fatha over the ma. I put the fatha over the aleph. We use the aleph as a seat. I repeat, we use the aleph as a seat for the A-N sound. So I just put the letter mean there. Then I add the dick, and I put two fathas above it, and we come up with the sound man, M-A-N, man, M-A-N. Two forward slash marks above a letter is called fathatain. That means two fathas. We have the city in the Middle East called Bahrain, which is two seas. It's referring to the two seas that that country is near. Bahrain. So the A-I-N sound, the A-N sound means two. Shahadatain. Two shahadas, right? Praise be to Allah. So well, that's fathatain. When I say fathatain, I'm talking about the A-N sound. Next we have, if you're following the logic, kasratain. So kasratain would be two kasra, two forward slash marks below a letter. Two fathas below, pardon me, two kasras below a letter. So that is, if you're following the logic, the first one is an E, and the second will be an N. So I've taught this particular method for many years, and I always give this example. But please listen carefully to see if you're picking up the flow of what I'm saying. If I give you the letter Ra, and I put Kasratain on it, remember Kasratain is EN. If I give you the letter T, and I put Kasratain below it, that is two Kasras on the bottom. Then I give you the letter T again with two Kasras. What do we come up with? For those of you who are a bit older, you know that that is the name of the German shepherd that was in the TV program. And his name was Ren Tin Tin. I repeat, Ren Tin Tin. So Ra, the letter Ra with Kasratain is Ren. The letter T with Kasratain is Tin. And repeating the letter T with Kasratain is Tin. So the Ren Tin Tin. Praise be to Allah. So continuing. But before we continue, we're going to just go back for a moment. I said to you that Kasratain was an A-N sound. Kasratain is an E-N sound. And now, Dhammatain, that is two Dhammas. So the first Dhamma we know is U, so we have to make an N for the second Dhamma. So that's on, like you're revving up an engine. Kitabun, Imamun, Tarasun. Muslimun, un. You always want to rev up your engine, as the professor always, you know, told us back in the day. Un. So that's a UN sound. And you can see the logic of that flowing. Two fathas is AN, two kasras is EN, two dhammas is UN. Un. Praise be to Allah. So we have already covered nine sounds. We only have six more to go. Praise be to Allah. So by way of review again, we mentioned fatha is an A sound, kasra is an E sound or I sound, dhamma is the U sound. To make the fatha sound long, we add aleph with no marking on it. That would be A, and you can put any letter there. Like ja or ma or ta or ba, sound of the lamb, right? The long E sound, that is the long kasra sound, is derived at by putting the letter ya next to a letter that has the kasra below it, that is the forward slash mark below a letter. So if we use the letter Jim, it's G. If I use the letter Li, it would be Li. By the way, Li means I have. Li, L-E-E, in Arabic means I have, or belonging to me. Li Shayala, I have a car. Next, we have the long Dhamma sound. We know that the one Dhamma is U. If I have the letter Jim, and I have the Dhamma above it, that's Ju. And to make it long, we add the wow with no vowel-like marking. And we come up with the sound Ju. Still using the letter J, we're going to talk again about Tanween. Tanween is the state of putting an N on the end of a word. So, we have the letter Jim, and we don't put the factor on it, but we put the factor over the aleph, which we use as a C or a resting point for the AN sound. The AN sound kind of looks like quotation marks, am I correct? So I believe that the Arab has tried to make it clear in writing also so that you won't mistake the factor tain, that is two factor, two forward slash marks, as a quotation mark. So they use the aleph as a C. So if I have the letter J, I put the letter J there, and then I add the aleph, and I put the factor tain over the aleph, and the aleph is, again, being used as a resting point for the AN sound. I see the time is running, so after I conclude the tanween, I'm going to open up for any questions, inshallah, or comments. Next, we have what we call kasra tain. Kasra tain is two kasra, that is, two forward slash marks below a letter gives us E-N. Remember, the second of the vowel-like markings gives you the N sound. And I mentioned Ren 10-10 a few moments ago. So if I use the letter J and I put Kasra Tain below it, that sound is Jin. J-E-N or J-I-N, either one. And then the last of the tanweens, Dhamma Tain, that is two Dhamma, two backward-looking E's above a letter. Gives us the sound, un, un, like I'm revving up an engine. So with the letter J, with Dhamma Tain, gives us the sound, Jun. The letter M with Dhamma Tain gives us the sound, Mun. The letter K with Dhamma Tain gives us the sound, Kun. We have it so beautifully in the Quran. Allah only says to a thing, kun fayakun be. And so it is. So praise be to Allah. I think that we have made that clear. And if not, we're going to keep doing it until we have it clear in your mind. And we hope that you will, from this day forward, be a lifelong student of the Quran. In fact, be one of the Pali bands. And again, I mentioned earlier that Taliban means a student, but it means a student forever. Praise be to Allah. So, if you have a question, I'm going to open up your mic. I see we have a question from 215. And inshallah, I'm going to open up your mic, and I hope it opens up. Yes, 215, you're on the air. 215, yeah. You're on the air.
But that's probably maybe me. I've been on the air since it started, but I what I wanted to have is the blog number or the blog address. Yeah, so I can get on the blog. So I'm on the I don't know if you on the computer. I'm just on the telephone.
Okay, well the address to get on the internet, I can give that to you. Yes, you ready?
So, yes.
Okay, it's Blog Talk Radio. BLOG Talk Radio .com and then the forward slash American Muslim 360.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
And what is your name, my brother?
Hassan. Shamsuddin.
Hassan Shamsuddin. My pleasure speaking with you, and inshallah, you'll be a regular student, and I hope that what I set forth today was understood.
Yes, sir, it is. I got your book, so
alhamdulillah. All right. So let me get the next person here that has a comment or a question. Hold on here. Just a moment here. Three-one-four. Do you have a question or comment? I know you had it, your hand up for a moment there, but I saw that it went away. So if you do have a question or comment, you're on the air. I see that you change your mind. Well, alhamdulillah. I encourage you not to be shy. Any other questions or comments? Just press one on your phone, and I'll open up your mic. I said we only have 3 or 4 minutes to go, and I believe Imam Wazir Ali is going to be chiming in at some point here or some other presenter. Okay, I see 314 just got back on hold on a moment. Yes, 314, you're on the air. 314. I hear a lot of static, but no voice. Okay, so I'd just like to close out with Al-Fatiha and make way for the next presenter here. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. I see we still have 2 minutes to go, and I see 414 as put their hand up. You're on the air, 414.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Imam Sajiq Jihad.
Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullah.
Yes, this is Brother Rashad Abdurrahman. I'm hosting the next show.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. That's great. Yes, so I can just do a little commercial and then you come on after that, a promo.
Yes, you know, now this is my first time actually switching over from another show, so I have to call into the host's number, I guess. So I think that's how you do it. I'm kind of a rookie in that thing, but I think we'll get the swing of it, inshallah.
So right after this commercial, you can take it, inshallah. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum assalam.
We should ensure the establishment of community structures, material structures. We should be strong leaders out front, lending our assistance, our moral assistance, contributing to the good morale of the business community.
This is David K. Hassan, president of the National Muslim Business Council. This year, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Business Conference Expo. Our theme is living the balanced life through economic development. Our conference will be held May 3rd through May 5th, 2013, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of Fort Bragg. A special feature this year, including lectures about Omar Ibn Said, visit to the historic sites, and much more. Visit our website, www.nationalmbc.org, for more information, or call us at 704-201-1353. We're looking forward to seeing you at this historic event. Thank you.